Let us now sing from Psalter 103, stanzas 2 and 4. I am prone to halt and stumble. Grief and sorrow dwell within. Shame and guilt my spirit humble. I am sorry for my sin. Lord my God, do not forsake me. Let me know that thou art near. Under thy protection take me, as my Savior now appear. 2 and 4 of Psalter 103.
God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to Matthew, there of chapter 22. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 22, the first 31 verses. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, okay, Matthew 27, correction, Matthew 27. Matthew 27, the first 31 verses. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Thus far. We will now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 of the newer Psalters. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us, that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hand upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, in that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother both? Father and Mother Gulliker. Father and Mother Kreft, Father and Mother Sudendal, Father and Mother Van Driesten, and Father and Mother Vandenberg. Dear parents, we will ask the mothers to sit. Parents, we have just heard out of God's word something very, very awful. And that is Judas, that he went out and he hanged himself. That is an awful thing. He hanged himself because he had no hope. That life of that man ended in despair. That man had a father, and he had a mother. He was not a heathen, but he was a Jew. And that means that when he was just a child, that his father and his mother did bring him up, did carry him in their arms, and they had him circumcised. Who can imagine? We do not know, of course, whether this father and mother were alive anymore by the time that his death ended. But what would that have been for those parents who have had their child circumcised, and then their child, the life of that child has ended in a complete despair? How did that happen? We can read that Satan entered into him, and that is the work of the devil. The work of the devil is to present this world, as he did to Judas, money, to present this world to them as a great good, that which fulfills. And then when they receive it, it is hot in their hands, and then he forsakes them. Then he drives them into despair. And that man came into the church, and the very office bearers in the church at that time said to him, "What is that to us? See thou to that." That is, those office bearers themselves did not know where to send a man with his guilt. With his guilt. We hope that the Lord may convince your child, your children, of their guilt in a way different, of course, than Judas, because Judas had no sorrow. But that it may be a true knowledge of their guilt, but also that they may never be brought to despair. And to that end, parents, upon their forehead will be a sign. Thus, when our child would be in such a way that he is burdened under a sense and a feeling of guilt, then he carries that very sign of the mercy and the grace of God upon his very forehead. That is a wonder. Then we have a place immediately to send a burdened soul, our own child. But it does not end there, because today that water is not going to remain in that basin. You are going to bring your child forward, and that water is going to be applied. It is going to be placed upon the head of your child. And that has also something to say to us. And in the future, that has something for you to explain to your children, that that blood cannot remain as shed blood, but it also needs to be applied unto their heart in order that they may receive that hope that Judas never received. May the Lord remember you. May the Lord bless you and your children and word and sacrament in this hour. While the children are brought in, And let us sing from Psalter 444, the seventh verse. Jehovah's mercy like a river from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship him with awe. The seventh verse, stanza of Psalter 444, and then after baptism, we ask the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Aidan James, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Madison Christine, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hannah Michelle, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Chelsea Linnell, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Kali Isla, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing for this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents to that end in that most responsible labor that Thou hast entrusted unto them, with the talents that Thou hast given unto them, which they may feel are so few, and yet Thou dost command that they be buried not in the earth, but that they may be given so to walk before them as an example in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, and to speak unto them concerning our own wretchedness in our father Adam, but also to point them unto that grace into which they are baptized in an outward way. O Lord, that that sign may never burn in their foreheads to a great eternity, but that it all may be used in thy holy fingers for the true welfare of us and our seed. Remember also grandparents and great-grandparents, where that they are, and relatives. Wilt thou gladden hearts under all thy great goodness, despite how much that we have forsaken thee, days without number? And yet thou givest that our children do desire to bring their children into thy church. Oh, may it be with a cry in their heart that they may be made into thy children, adopted of thee. Oh, that thou may remember also her, and that has made public confession of guilt. Lord, may it live in all of us, and oh, that this may also be for her a testimony that there is a forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. O bring us, Lord, each one upon our knees before thee in our secret chambers. Give our parents wisdom and strength to instruct their children in the times in which we are living, and that our youth may also fear thy name, and that they may be careful that they may not trust themselves, their own strength, as if we are able to keep ourselves, for if thou wilt leave us for a moment, then we fall. And if thou wilt leave us altogether, then we fall away. Lord, wilt thou show unto us for the first or by renewal the wonders of thy grace in this thy holy day. Oh, that we, when we are gathered around word and sacrament, may have a heart that is bowed before thee by thy Spirit, and that we may be given to come truly and with weeping and with supplications, and that we may draw near boldly to thy throne of grace, a boldness that is holy and that is trembling with Esther of old, to go into the king and yet to say, I will go in, and if I perish, I perish. Lord, wilt thou teach young and old of these matters which we do not learn from our own selves? Wilt thou so bless us as a congregation, and wilt thou remember us in this hour, in the preaching and in the hearing? Give us strength for this work, and could it please thee, a little entrance into thy word of truth, and may it be for the welfare of souls among us in this hour. Forgive thou all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 1 and 2, or what is necessary for the collection. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. 1 and 2 of Psalter 419. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion of God's word read to you, Matthew chapter 27, thereof the verses 24, 25, and 26. Matthew 27, 24 through 26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So far, the words of our text. Pilate washes his hands first concerning his own guilt. Second, concerning the guilt of the Jews. And third, concerning the guilt of Barabbas. Pilate washes his hands, first concerning his own guilt, second concerning the guilt of the Jews, and third concerning the guilt of Barabbas. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude. Boys and girls, were his hands dirty? That is what you do when you have dirty hands, right? Then you wash your hands. Were Pilate's hands dirty? Yes, actually they were very dirty, because he has already done the deed of murder in his own heart. Thus, Pilate has blood on his hands. Pilate is a coward. Pilate is afraid of a multitude. Pilate is afraid of tumult. And it is for that reason that Pilate is shirking his duty as the judge of the land. Pilate has an office, and Pilate is accountable. He is accountable to him that gave him his office. Not that he listened to the people and to do as the people desire, but he is sitting here as a judge. And a judge is in the world, in the institution of the Lord. And thus he stands directly as God's mouthpiece concerning what is right and what is wrong and what must be condemned and who must be set free. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude. I do not know if this has anything in the history of the Romans themselves, but it does in the history of the Jews, because if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, then you will find there a command of the Lord himself that when someone has been murdered and the murderer is not known, and that the elders of that city and those that adjoin are to do a certain ritual in which is included the washing of their hands. That is, that they make a testimony that they do not know who has murdered this person and that they have no guilt in the matter of his murder. And now Pilate is using this sign. He is using this symbol. We see him washing his hands. But he can wash and he can wash, but actually he is not able to get the blood that is on his hands off of his hands. No, that blood does not wash off with that water that he is trying to use to wash that off. He can wash them with nitre. He can take him much soap. But his iniquity is marked before the Lord. Then, children, we don't see the blood on his hands actually. But Pilate feels something in his mind. That is, Pilate has a conscience, young people, that is defiled. And Pilate says that I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Thus Pilate fully understands what he is doing. And he knows clearly that he is doing something that is very, very wrong. Because we read that he knew that it was for envy that they have delivered him. Thus, in the washing of his hands, he attempts to rid himself, to release himself of his own accountability, and to get rid of the guilt that is living in his conscience. Pilate feels something here, that though he is a judge, he also has a judge. As wicked as he is, his conscience still speaks. And not only his conscience, but probably he is also filled with superstition, especially concerning what his wife has warned him of, what she has experienced in her own dreams. A speaking conscience is a very heavy burden. Or not. Or not. Do we all not know something of what it means to go over this world with a conscience that is condemning us? That is not only because of our instruction from the time we are young, but that is actually in every man in the whole world. That even the heathen do know by the sparks of that image of God that are still left in them, that they still do know that God exists and that they have to appear before him. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. What does Pilate try to do? He tries to cast his own guilt and what he is doing in his office, with his office, with the power of his office, trying to cast that burden of guilt upon this multitude. Do you ever do that too? To try to cast your guilt upon someone else? You do that too, children, sometimes. You say, it was my brother who did it. It was my sister who did it. Where do we get that from? We get that from our great, 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 great grandfather. Do you know who he is? That is Adam and his wife, because he said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. And she said, the serpent. Thus there is nothing new under the sun. but the corruption wherewith what sin has corrupted man with in our first parents has been passed on from generation to generation. That is why you're going to see parents in your children. When they are already so very young, you will not need to teach them to sin. And when you see it, you may grieve about it because it comes from us. And so then we have not in the first place to blame our children, but we still have to discipline our children. But then we can do it with tears in our eyes, and we can do it with a heart that is mourning. I am innocent. This all has one object. That Pilate says, I am not guilty. I am not worthy of condemnation. That is what we say is self-justification. We justify ourselves. But congregation, we are not our own judge. We are not our own judge. It was necessary that the Lord Jesus would be condemned by an earthly judge to death. And why? It had to be official. He could not be thrown over the hill in Nazareth and die. He could not die as a martyr. No, he had to be condemned officially by an earthly judge, because that judge is a representation of the judgment of God. And in a legal way, Christ is in this judgment, not in the Sanhedrin, but in the judgment of Pilate. Then in a legal way, God himself as judge is placing the iniquity of his church upon the head of his son. That is why that also this was decreed by God. And congregation, then there is only one way that it is possible that Christ would be condemned by an earthly judge. One way. What is that way? It is in the way of falsehood. It is in the way of falsehood. Because if that judgment were right, if it were a right judgment, then he would have to be acquitted. But he must be condemned. And thus there is no other way but that he be brought through a corrupt court. And thus it is also laying in the decree of God himself, and that this corrupt court would exist and so declare the sentence of condemnation on his son. You will say then, is Pilate actually guilty then? Was it not inevitable? Could Pilate really help it? Was it not laying in the decree of God? Did it not actually have to happen? What kind of questions are those? They are all questions by which we attempt over and over again to evade our own guilt. Yes, Pilate is accountable. And why is Pilate accountable when he is nothing but an instrument in the hand of the Lord? To do the Lord's will for the deliverance of his own church. Pilate is accountable because he remains what is sometimes called a free agent. That means that his will chose freely. that he was never forced by the Lord. The Lord only leaves Pilate. That is all he has to do in directing all these things, is leave Pilate over to himself, because there is nothing that is living in the heart of a fallen man but sin. And thus, in the direction of the Lord and in the decree of the Lord, Pilate is fulfilling the will of the Lord that is not the revealed will of the Lord, that is the secret will of the Lord, and all the while he is retaining his own accountability. Thus, he is no different than any one of us, that we remain with a will that is choosing according to our own desires. That is all it does. And that choice that we do make, that is always an evil choice. And that evil choice is a choice for which God will hold us accountable to a great and never-ending eternity. I am innocent. No, Pilate. You are not innocent. You are guilty because you make a choice here that is the choice of your desire, that is living in your own heart, and there is no one, not God himself, that is forcing you to make this evil choice. You, Pilate, do not want to deal with the consequences that you see coming for making a choice that is right. But you say, what about the Jewish people? Are they not guilty? That is our second thought. What do we read? Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. That is, congregation, a shocking answer. Who has ever heard, where do you read, a choice like this in all the world, that a people would call down upon themselves guilt? It is the guilt of murder, to agree that they would be accountable, and not only they, but their children, that their children will be accountable, and they leave there no limits to the accountability generation after generation, as the Lord is merciful. You may read that in his law. How that the Lord limits it to the third and to the fourth generation. But this people, they call down upon themselves guilt, the guilt for murder, for taking the life of an innocent man, upon themselves and their children without limit. And it is evident that they are under a very deadening stupor, that they are under, we would say in this world, that people, they must be under some kind of a spell. We know that Satan, he is behind it, he is under it, he is working it. And that heart that is governed by the devil himself knows no bounds to its foolishness. It is very evident here that these people are guided by a very wicked unbelief. They do not believe that they will be punished. They do not believe that at all. They are in this moment, they are influenced by the work of Satan and by the instruments of Satan who are working even within the church. And they believe wholeheartedly that they are in the right. And they have so much confidence in themselves, even when they are in such a very great error, while I cannot reason with them. They are governed completely by Satan and that whole mentality that he gives them, that is governed by one another, an unruly multitude, all following whoever is shouting here the loudest among them. And then there is an astonishing, a very astonishing unreasonableness, daring as it were, daring as with an oath, to call down upon themselves the judgments of God and to their children. That is, congregation, fearful. What are we capable of? What are we capable of in our own heart? All of this that lives in our own heart. If the Lord will leave us for one moment, then we will do as this fickle multitude. You say, I'm a religious man. Is that so? And what about these people? What about this multitude? They were very, very religious people. They were guided by the strictest of the religious people. They were guided by the Pharisees, by these teachers, by the scribes. And they thought that they did God service. And they thought actually that they were doing a very, very godly thing. Do you know what they thought? They thought that they were standing for the old truth. For the old truth. Was that so? They were not. They were not at all. Because that old truth that has been corrupted in this church in which the Lord Jesus dwelt in his life. Oh, they were wrong. They were so fearfully wrong. They were led by wolves that were in sheep's clothing. And then they followed them. They followed them just like sheep. And now that following, they are accountable for that. Because if you will follow me, because I am a minister, and you will follow me anywhere that I go, then you are wrong. Because the apostle says that the Bereans were to be commended because of that, what they heard from the apostle, they have taken to the word of God to see if those things were so. Thus, we have a great responsibility when we stand here. But that responsibility does not end with us. No, that responsibility is also your own. And these people allowed themselves to be led by these wolves, even into a very great error. False teachers, these Pharisees, who brought them back, congregation, to a broken covenant. A broken covenant. If Satan can keep us religious, and that is all that we have, he does not mind. He does not mind, because hell can be filled with religion, and that is simply okay with the devil. How dangerous is the heat of passion when all godliness is set aside and when also reason itself is set aside. The Jews are calling here the judgment of the Lord upon them. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. That was in their self-righteousness. They said, we will bear it. We will bear it. That is the wrath of God. What does the Lord Jesus say of this people? He says, they know not what they do. They did this in congregation, a great ignorance. But that ignorance did not excuse them. Christ prayed for them. He said, Father, forgive them. Were they forgiven? Oh, that gospel that went first to that people. And many of them were brought in by that gospel. And many will still be brought in by that gospel. When that branch is engrafted again into that living vine. But as a nation, they have forfeited something. They have forfeited the promise of the Lord. The promise of the Lord that said that he would be his God and the God of his seed. And now another part is going to come true. Because now he is going to be made the father of many nations. Oh, through the ages, this people have been held accountable, fearfully accountable for the shedding of that blood, but also for something else. For what else? For the rejection. The rejection of the Messiah. Fearful suffering. That should make us tremble. Because we may ask ourselves, do we now bring ourselves into the same place? In the rejection of that Messiah, as these people brought themselves into, let us sing a moment from stanzas 3 and 5. By God's decree, his son receives the nations for his heritage. The conquering Christ supreme shall reign as King of kings from age to age. 3 and 5 of Psalter 4.
Thank you.
Pilate washes his hands concerning his own guilt, concerning the guilt of the Jews, and last concerning the guilt of Barabbas. Pilate washes his hands. He says, I am innocent. Innocent concerning what? Innocent concerning a wicked judgment. That is, when he will acquit the guilty and when he will condemn the innocent. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And thus we read that judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. And because truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. No, Pilate cannot remove the stains on his hands for this either. Neither can he remove the speaking that is in his own conscience that remained on his account when he died and when he appeared before God and will remain there when he is raised again and when he has to stand with us in that great judgment. And when he had scourged Jesus, that was a scourging that was often typical before a crucifixion. It was very cruel. It was done with a whip, and that was done with something that was attached, that was sharp, that was on the end of that whip. And what was the purpose of that whipping, that scourging? That was to draw blood. That is now, congregation, the blood that Pilate has on his hands and on his conscience that he is not able to wash off. But now it is the same blood by which Barabbas is released from the prison, by which he is acquitted. By which he is acquitted of insurrection, and by which he is acquitted of murder that was in the insurrection. Pilate does not understand this, but that wicked judgment, that false judgment, that evil judgment, that is now the means by which the entire church of God, from the beginning unto the end of the world, is now released from that prison. The Lord is standing over it. No, it does not go according as man will make it to go, not even those who supposedly are in control, not as Pilate says that it goes, but as that heavenly judge determines and controls all things for the sake of his church. And when he had scourged Jesus, congregation, there, that blood began to flow. In the court of law, before the great judge, do you know what he had said? He had said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And now it has pleased him to receive a substitute in the place of his people. Was that unjust? No. It was not unjust of him. And why not? Because he has satisfied that justice. Pilate could not do that. From Pilate it was all injustice, but from the Lord it shall be right, because the Lord will take care that justice is fulfilled. But congregation, that release that was never received and still is never received as long as a man is still washing his hands. As long as a man is still saying, I am innocent. That did not help Pilate. That did not help these Jews. Pilate blamed the Jews, and the Jews put guilt far away from them, while Christ was busy. While God was busy delivering his own guilty people. Self-justification that will never deliver us from the court. From the court. And we have to stand there in the day of our death. And when we come there in that great judgment day. Hand washing. Hand washing is one of those things that is now standing so in the way of the deliverance of our soul. Our blind eyes, our eyes are blinded by that hand washing. That we cannot see that blood that has been shed upon Golgotha. Hand washing. That is what the Pharisee did. And when he prayed to God in the temple, and he said, Lord, I am not as other men are. Then he washed his hands of all of his own guilt. And then we read in the Bible that he was not acquitted by the judgment seat of God. Hand washing. That is now what we all do, isn't it? It's the first thing we do, don't we? If we don't say it with our mouth, then we have already said it in our mind. Then we have to say, oh no, I may not say that. I may not do that. Because actually I am guilty. The Lord came to Cain. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And what did the Lord say to Cain? He said, the voice of your brother's blood that is crying to me. It is crying unto me from the ground. Hand washing. That is what the Lord has to cure his people of. That is what he has to cure you and I of. In order that he may deliver our souls from guilt. From guilt. Because we can never be delivered from guilt if we are still washing our hands. That is not an easy thing to do, to cure a man of hand washing. We cannot do that ourselves, but God is almighty. Joseph's brothers, they washed their hands too. For how long? Many, many years. Many years. We are honest men. How many years have you been washing your hands? And then the Lord had to strip it all away. Did the Lord ever do that in your life? To strip away all that hand washing. That the bowels of that greater Joseph were moved when you came in your inner closet. And you said, Lord, I am truly guilty. David washed his hands too. In the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah, Oh, he had blood on his hands, didn't he? Blood. Tried to wash it off. It did not just come off. He cast the blame on Providence. He said, oh, the sword that devours one as well as it devours another. But I am innocent. And now it is the mercy of the Lord. What do we read in the Bible? His hand was heavy on him. Heavy. You ever experienced that? The heavy hand of the Lord upon you. And then that guilt in your conscience. And then the Lord did not let David go. No, he says, my bones, they waxed old through my roaring all the day long. The Lord kept it on. He kept it on. Until when? Oh, until he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. All the washing of the hands stopped. That is where the Lord has to bring us. You and me. All of us. Because we all do the same thing. And we need to be brought there once. Twice. 100 times, because it is this hand washing that is living in our hearts by nature. And when he had scourged Jesus, congregation, who can fathom the preciousness and the power of one drop of their blood? That began dripping there from the back of the Lamb of God. When he was standing there in the court before his earthly judge, no, before the judge of all the earth. And then that blood of that precious Son of God began to drip. Began to drip. Oh, Pilate, had you but eyes to see what was possible through that blood, but you cannot wash those hands with that water. Oh, what that blood is able now to take away, because a drop of that blood that is so mighty and it is so powerful in that heavenly court. In that heavenly court. Before that most high judge to deliver men like Barabbas. Like Barabbas. Congregation Manasseh, we read he shed innocent blood very much. So that it filled Jerusalem from one end even unto the other end. And even that man, when he humbled himself in his affliction and when he besought the Lord, then we read even of that man that the Lord was entreated of him. How is it possible? And when he had scourged Jesus, oh, we are so busy. We are so busy washing our hands, washing our hands, but they will never come clean. The Lord does not say, wash your hands. He says just the opposite. He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast sinned against the Lord thy God. Is that not simple? Is that not simple? A little child with guilt can understand that. Oh, it is simple, congregation, for our mind, but it is not so simple for our heart, because we stand too high for that, much too high for that. Oh, the Lord, make it simple. May the Lord bring us low. The Lord give us so to acknowledge our iniquity before Him. And then it will become so simple to us. One drop of that blood that began to drip from that Savior's back in that court. Oh, then you will see. Then it is an ocean. A grace that is as wide as the ocean. And that He cast all the sins of His church into the depth of the sea. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, there was a little sprinkling in this hour. O grant us, Lord, that true confession of our guilt before Thee, and that sprinkling from an evil conscience. Oh, show to us by Thy Holy Spirit the power that is in that shed blood. Do dismiss us with Thy blessing. Forgive all of our iniquities. And help us in the week to come. Watch over us in all the labors of our hands. Remember the child who received surgery. Make Thou it well. Keep in traveling the delegates to the classes. Remember when there are treatments to be had for mind or body. And keep us all from a sudden and an unprepared death. And include us by a true saving faith in Thy dear Son, undeservedly. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 83, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 83. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.